I'm Francesca Milliken-Slater, and welcome to Set 5 of Stories to Tell in the Middle of the Night. I tell you stories that aren't always about the night, but carry a sense of the night, of being awake when no one else is, unrest when the sleep won't come, the things that keep us up, frustrations, regrets, lovers, love, loss, and urges. They are stories I tell myself when I can't find my sleep. You can find all available episodes to download at iTunes, podcast, or where you usually get your podcasts. Today, tonight, we're doing the distractions. The physical ones we might find to entertain ourselves in the night. There is explicit content, so please don't listen around children or on a speaker at work or running on a treadmill. I mean, it's not that explicit. I'm sure you can find something far more explicit with a simple Google search. I'd put it on incognito, though, or whatever browser you use. I'm also hoping this forewarning is enough to allow members of my family to skip this couplet of stories now. Although my mum would probably be all right, as when I was once explaining what a fuck buddy was, she offered to lend me her vibrator as an alternative. I didn't take her up on the offer. She also said that before you close your eyes at night, you send a kiss to everyone you've lain with. Or words to that effect. Well, the night time can be the right time, thanks Tina. Hookups and booty calls, cheers, All Saints, last minute love-ins, and for finally fucking that one person you'd kept on the back burner, even though you shouldn't have, but really you should. Though sometimes I think the best shag is the one you never had. I'll take a moment for that. Which brings me neatly to what is sometimes called solo sex. Self-love. Masturbation. Let's say it's 2, maybe 3 in the morning, and you don't know how long you haven't been asleep. Perhaps you never really went to sleep. Turning, tensing, tossing, tossing, turning, tensing, up. In a few hours, excess energy. There's a way to spend it. Bring yourself into a slump. 2 tales for you today, a quickie, and one to take a little more time over. First up, big knickers, thick elastic. She watches them in the day. On worn grass, young flesh sprawled across each other twitches her skin in irritation. These public displays of copulation that seem so prevalent these days in parks and public spaces. She aches her thighs along in straining creaks as the young woman wraps her thighs around the young man's narrow hips. And she has to acknowledge a certain eroticism in their entanglement as her own body grinds past at snail's pace, darted eyes making disapproving glances. They carry on romancing in their skin, unbothered. And it's not that she's prissy. She's performed acts in public in the dark of the night because she could, because she wanted to, because that's what you did back then. Because she likes the idea of being watched. And it's not that she objects to human form, admirable of short shorts over smooth skin, uncovered arms and acres of flesh. No, her irritation at these public displays of copulation masks an ache for that age to live life so unashamed, public, a Oh, she'd sew herself inside that young woman's supple skin to throw her thighs about in yielding belly and laugh, her hair caught on the wind to feel the first shock of lust. Encased instead in polyester and ankle-length cotton, she sees the lines between these two people. She knows it's all for show, she thinks she knows, but feels for a moment the burn of a memory and a hand on her thigh. Home she goes to an empty house, which doesn't surprise her, she'd left it that way. Let's not have her feed a cat. She isn't the woman with a basket full of Cinzano and whiskers. Dinner and a glass of wine. TV deadlines her mind off. Angles a lamp just right. Opens up a screen and logs on.
Take off your top, please.
She unbuttons her polyester mixed blouse bought on the cheap from a chain department store gone into receivership. She can't see their faces, just the gentle ebb and flow, slow at first, one shoulder exposed, and then the other.
Stand up, please.
They prefer from chest to thigh, what we've become used to in the right angle of a camera, elasticated waistband exposed.
Lift up your skirt.
She gathers the pleats and folds to her waist, dappled thighs just like they like. A woman who has lived a life. Snail trails around, round belly and hips. She puts her own hand on her own thigh.
Turn around.
Instruction. Through missing letters and misappropriated spelling. Well, that can sometimes be off-putting. She does prefer a proper sentence. They never really stray from the obvious. The scenes that are played out, always, on sets and parlours, strip clubs and back rooms, private rooms and cameras, the bedrooms it filters down to.
Bend over.
No frill knickers stretch across her rump. She smacks her own hand on her own arse, lets out a gasp. Well, sometimes you've got to improvise.
Pull aside your knickers.
Actually, the reach around for this was quite difficult once she'd lost her balance and lost that connection. Big knickers, thick elastic, her USP.
Pull aside your knickers.
Unique selling point. It had started off as an accident, something she'd just heard about. A roulette of people from across the world to chat to in pictures and webcams. It wasn't for loneliness, more a want to know other people's stories from the comfort of her own home.
I want to see more.
But she was late to the party, or the party had always been like this. Crotch shots of masturbation while partners or kids slept in the room next door, but she liked it. Not the idea of the slumbering unknowns, but instruction, and to be watched and enjoyed, her own secret to be lusted over again. And then she discovered she could do it for coins. Tits for bitcoins.com. Bits for bitcoins.com. Chat debate live best live bits for bitcoins. Set up your profile, big niggas, thick elastic. Paid into your e-wallet every Monday.
Put your fingers.
Staccato finish. The bitcoins cash. I do hope you enjoyed that as much as me. Let's go back a little further in time before live streaming and instruction to something a little less prescriptive, a little more analog, in Tank Wank. In the heat of a country far away from the UK, they had found private ways to spend their frustrations a long time ago. They were in the seventh month of a tour, promises that it was to have been shorter, 40 degrees. As soon as boots hit the ground, it was obvious that this was pointless, seeking the nothing that had never been hidden. But they continued looking, supporting the Allies, the Americans as they expected them to be, big and booming, masculinity worn as badges. He watched them as a film. And you do your orders and you keep your head down and you talk when you can if you want and you eat your food and you work and you clean and you sleep when you can and you wait. It was the way it was. It wasn't bad. And there would be money to spend when he got back to where they got back to. It wouldn't be home first. There would be decompression. Official eyes turned away at the things that they would do to let off steam from the heat of a country like this. Home, where he'd grown up, was a small town with its small ways, the kind of place you'd either grown up in and knew everyone or never even heard of. Familiar large towns as pinpoints to give vague ideas. The boys, the lads in his troop, pulling on parodies of the kind of place he was from. Dodgy, mimicked accents, these boys, these lads, all those miles from home remained as a sum of the parts of where they were from in the first place. Place names as nicknames and imaginative swearing reworkings on that theme. Finishing school in that small town, the years loomed ahead, undecided, and he was a person that needed to be active, excess energy, so he signed up. At least he had something to do and would be told what to do and when. It had rid him of the burden of decision. But now, the telling and the told were getting tiresome here, where they were, amidst what was supposed to be a proper war. Sleeping in tanks, five men in all, three of them sucking cigarettes inside the small space. Well, it's dangerous to spark up outside, of course. Snipers are told to aim for the glowing ember of a cherry on the end of a casual cigarette. Inside the tank, everyone moved under red bulbs as a photographic darkroom so overspill light wouldn't be seen in the dark of the night. Day and night, he watched the three cherries cheerfully winking through the smoke. At 20, 21 years old, the things he'd learnt about women and sex were from the infrequent meetups with girls that he thought wanted to be wives. It was always in the training towns back home that these kind of girls were. He saw them see him as a way out of those dead parts in the south of the country. Then, in Germany, he'd learnt his stroke in the houses and the bars on the outskirts of the base. Well, there wasn't much else to do. The two oldest occupations in the world, hand in hand, they always said, money in hand, they were good girls, clean girls, ones that would have you in hand. Professionals like, looked after. In the tank, in the smoke, he thought of the hills of home as much as he thought about the rise and curve of women. Wet holes, knowing fingers into air that you could breathe in, rain, distances that you could see, stark, cold. He longed for that, and women. Not here, not ever. Relief was up to you. Well, there'd be scant opportunity to find time on your own while you were out. You were always on, but now, for the last month at least, they had retired to a base, and there was a bed in shared accommodation, some sense of privacy in itself. Now, this was before the internet was so accessible, possible, when women's spread legs came across double-page spreads of magazines. Paper. Through the lats, a trio of nicknames from counties across the country wrote off to Razzle, Reader's Wives, Escort, Men Only, Mayfair, to plead their case as squaddies fighting for the country who desperately needed a bit of release. This was something that wasn't uncommon in the procuring of sweets, tinned goods and cigarettes. A good old-fashioned bit of begging from the boys on the country's surface. All the way from England, a brown paper package arrived, a stack of free porn for the boys. Razzle, men only, and readers' wives were generous. And there were rules. The stack stayed where it was. You put it back when you'd used the magazine of your choice. No splashes, no marks, no pages stuck together. You could fold down a corner as a bookmark for a favourite. One night, he took a magazine. He had a penchant for the real rather than the glossed over and the waxed, and he could see the tank left where he'd parked it was free from occupation. A little privacy. Red light on, one hand on the pages, flicking through, the other in the careful undoing of his fatigues, feeling the familiar caress of his own fingers. One page. No. Not today, love. Something more brunette. A little more his age range. Turn a page. No, not yet. A bit more meat on the bones. He's just getting started. Turn the page again. Sweat. And then spread across the page and pulled away in peep show panties. He knew that face of the sultry stare. The finger on the lips. A girl he'd gone to school with, his older sister, from his hometown. She was always pretty fit. Recognition with those eyes that had known him from before. The hills and the cold. In 40 degrees, 3,500 miles away, sweat dripping, red light on, he gave it his all for a familiar face from home. Thank you for listening to Stories to Tell in the Middle of the Night. That was The Distractions. Physical interludes to help us try and find our sleep. And because the night belongs to lovers, we'll be looking a little more romantically in on the physical side of love next time. If you have enjoyed this Stories to Tell, please let us know by rating, reviewing, tweeting, messaging us. You can visit storiestotellinthemiddleofthenight.com or tweet us at Middle Night Tale. We are originally releasing the episodes weekly over 9 weeks from May 2018, but if you're listening from the future, hello. All 9 sets of stories are available to download at iTunes Podcast or where you usually get your podcasts. They have been released in an order which references the next episode, but they don't have to be listened to in that order. They are made so that each set of stories stands on its own, although if you like them, I would listen to episode 9 last. Its theme is hope as morning breaks, and that's a good thing to listen to last. We have also released a selection of BSL video interpretations of these podcasts. These can be found at storiestotellinthemiddleofthenight.com. Stories to Tell started as a theatre show, born from ideas of people, friends, awake and up in pain or anxiety and not being able to sleep. These stories are made to be listened to when you are awake, a light still on or not, although I have been told that I have a voice that sends dogs to sleep, in a good way, but I think. It is written and voiced by me, Francesca Milliken-Slater. Sound design is by Ian Armstrong, with podcast support from Mark Stedman, produced by Pippa Frith, supported by Arts Council England. Copies of the original theatre text are published by Ink Concrete. You can buy or download at inkconcrete.com or on Amazon. Stories to Tell in the Middle of the Night, the theatre show, was originally commissioned by Birmingham Repertory Theatre and was supported by Arts Council England China Plate and the Sir Barry Jackson Trust. It was produced by Pippa Frith. I'm Francesca Milliken-Slater, and you can find out more about what I do at francescamillikenslater.co.uk. Ian is Ian with two I's at ianarmstrong.net. Pippa is at pippafrith.co.uk, and Mark Steadman is at steadman.io. Listen out for a bonus episode where myself, Ian and Pippa will be in conversation about sound, the show, how it became a podcast, and if Ian has been recording cutting his toenails.